Good morning. For those of you who don't know me, my name is Elijah Mizak. I am the oldest grandson of Pastor Kurt and Rhonda right here. I've been coming to this church for about 20 years. I was just told to introduce myself, so there was that. I'm going to start out today with share a little story with you all. When Pastor Kurt and Rhonda asked me to speak last Saturday, probably had a dozen reasons going through my head why I should say no. I'm too busy. I don't have enough time to prepare. I don't want to try to take it on, etc. I politely turned them down, stating my reasons, and suggested maybe I would speak another time. They graciously blessed my decision, and I thought that was that. Sunday morning rolls around. I get to the church about 8 a.m. to open up the coffee bar. I glance at my phone and see that Pastor Rhonda has texted me asking if I would help read some of her passages for a message that morning. In short, her text asked me, "Be honest, do you want to?" I honestly didn't want to, but usually I'd say yes anyway. Instead, I said, "Not really, but if you don't find someone, let me know." Smiley face. Again, I thought that was that. Later that same morning, a member of our church, I won't share their name, asked me if I would consider serving the church in a specific way. Again, a dozen reasons jumped out at me for why I should politely turn it down. I don't feel like I'm gifted in that area. I'm already serving. I don't feel qualified. Fill in the blank. The person understood, and part of me thought that was that. The other part of me thought about the 3 requests I had received in the last 24 hours. To serve the church that I had turned down. However, the thought didn't stay for long as I helped clean up the coffee bar and headed off to service. During worship last Sunday, I felt like the Lord was speaking to me some of what I'm going to share today, but the thought going through my head was, well, that's something to pray about and prepare for about maybe 6 months from now. Skip to after worship. During Pastor Rhonda's message, and you'll find me sitting on the front row paying close attention and following along. I was thinking that Michael Beardsley did a much better job at the reading than I would have, and patting myself on the back for the good decision I made. That is, until Pastor Rhonda started talking about how Peter denied Jesus 3 times on the night he was betrayed. I felt the Holy Spirit knock, and I thought about the 3 things I had politely said no to over the last 24 hours. And the Holy Spirit began tugging on me, and I was thinking, oh gosh, I guess I better tell him we'll do communion next week. I realized that I had grown complacent and comfortable in the authority the Lord had given me. I did not want to put myself out there, nor did I want to grow myself in Christ and in my authority at that time. I was comfortable. I'm sure Peter was comfortable too, or at the very least, unwilling to grow in his authority from the Lord to call out his convictions. Communion symbolizes many things for us. The bread and wine represent his body that was broken for our sins. The covenant relationship we have with Jesus, his resurrection. However, I felt like the Lord was telling me to talk about the reminder communion gives us not of only Jesus' resurrection, but of the gift of the Holy Spirit because of his death and ascension, and the power we receive through Jesus. I don't know about all of you, but sometimes it can be easy to become complacent in our partaking of communion. However, I believe that if we all understood the power and significance of communion in our lives and our Christian walk, we would never be complacent. We'd always be looking and pushing for more. 1 Corinthians 4:20, "For the kingdom of God is not based on talk, but on power." The Bible says that every time we take communion, we're proclaiming the Lord's death until he comes. However, I suggest in addition to proclaiming his death, we're proclaiming that we have been bought with a price and we're ambassadors of the kingdom to the world. That once we were lost, but we've been saved from our sin and given authority as children of God. Paul explains this, and he tells his testimony on the road to Damascus. Acts 26:10-18. "And this is just what I did in Jerusalem. I not only locked up many of the saints, God's people, in prison after receiving authority from the chief priests, but also when they were being condemned to death, I cast my vote against them and often punished them, making them suffer in all the synagogues and tried to force them to blaspheme. In my extreme rage at them, I kept hunting them even to foreign cities, harassing and persecuting them. While so engaged, I was traveling to Damascus with the authority and commission and full power of the chief priests. At midday, O king, I saw on the way a light from heaven surpassing the brightness of the sun, shining all around me and those who were traveling with me. And when we had all fallen to the ground, I heard a voice in the Hebrew dialect, Jewish Aramaic, saying to me, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? Is it hard for you to kick repeatedly against the goads, offering pointless resistance? I said, Who are you, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting. Get up and stand on your feet. I have appeared to you for this purpose, to appoint you to serve as a minister and as a witness, to testify with authority, not only to the things which you have seen, but also the things in which I will appear to you, choosing you for myself and rescuing you from the Jewish people and from the Gentiles, to whom I am sending you, to open their spiritual eyes, that we may turn from darkness to light and from the power of Satan to God, that they may receive forgiveness and release from their sins, and an inheritance among those who have been sanctified, set apart, made holy by faith in me. We have been given power and authority over this world, but not through ourselves, but Christ who lives in us. 2 Corinthians 12, 7-10. Because of the surpassing greatness and extraordinary nature of the revelations which I received from God, for this reason, to keep me from thinking of myself as important, a thorn in the flesh was given to me, a messenger of Satan to torment and harass me, to keep me from exalting myself. Concerning this, I pleaded with the Lord 3 times that it might leave me, but he said to me, My grace is sufficient for you. My loving kindness and my mercy are more than enough, always available, regardless of the situation. For my power is being perfected and is completed and shows itself most effectively in your weakness. Therefore, I will all the more gladly boast in my weakness, so that the power of Christ may completely enfold me and may dwell in me. So I am well pleased with weaknesses, and with insults, with distresses, with persecutions, and with difficulties. For the sake of Christ, when I am weak in human strength, then I am strong, truly able, truly powerful, truly drawing from God's strength. And then 1 Corinthians 15:56 and 57. The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin by which it brings death is the law. But thanks be to God who gives us victory as conquerors through our Lord Jesus Christ. Through the power of the cross, we have been grafted into the kingdom of God and given power and authority as children of God. Every time we take communion as a church family, we are proclaiming to ourselves, the world, and the enemy that we are latching on to our authority through Christ, and through our weakness, his strength flows through us. How many of you know that the devil hates it when we take communion? He hates anything that reminds him that he lost his hold on us 2,000 years ago. With all that being said, when we take the elements in just a second, I want you to proclaim your authority given to you through God, freely through Christ. Proclaim your authority over your lost loved ones, your workplace, your school and social settings, and proclaim your authority over Satan and over this world. Don't be complacent in taking communion, and definitely don't be comfortable with the level of authority the Lord has given you. He is always looking to give us more, but we have to be looking and wanting it. All right, now, you guys probably know the drill. We're going to start in the back row. You guys can come up the sides, grab the elements here, and go back to your seats through the middle row, and then we're all going to take communion together. Just a second while we wait for the scragglers walking back there. First Corinthians 11, 23 through 26. For I received from the Lord himself that instruction which I passed on to you, that the Lord Jesus on that night in which he was betrayed took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is or represents my body, which is offered as a sacrifice for you. Do this in affectionate remembrance of me." In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant, ratified and established in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it, in affectionate remembrance of me." For every time you eat this bread and drink this cup, you are symbolically proclaiming the fact of the Lord's death until he comes again. I'm going to go ahead and invite the ministry team to come on up. Louis, you can come on up too. I have a couple of general words I feel like the Lord gave me for all.